are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Locked On NBA podcast, where we talk about the NBA every day. My name's Tony East, filling in for Wes Goldberg today as one of the co-hosts of Tuesday's Locked On NBA. I am the host of Locked On Pacers, and joining me, because it's Tuesday here on Locked On NBA, Mr. David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat. David, how are you doing on this Tuesday? I know we're recording on a Monday of Labor Day. How's your weekend been so far, sir?
So far, so good. I can't complain. Unlike Pacers fans, or one particular Pacers fan who seems I didn't give the team their just credit, I'm glad that you're here to defend the team and defend their honor, because I'm sure a lot of Indiana fans are curious to see how you handle this responsibility, because I apparently was not as optimistic as I could have been regarding their offseason moves. But having talked to you about it before we started recording, I guess my opinion feels pretty justified, considering, again, we're talking about the over-unders from a couple weeks ago in the Eastern Conference, and now their line has dropped from 42.5 to 41. So I guess I was right all along.
You were, and I will not be defending the Pacers' honors today, because that is not what we're going to talk about. David and I had decided that this week we're going to do five teams we are excited to watch, kind of like the league pass ranking Zach Lowe does. In the Eastern Conference, next week we'll do five teams we're excited to watch in the Western Conference, whether that's because of some young players or some offseason moves, or we're just not sure how this team's going to look and we're excited to see it. The criteria, very ambiguous. The talks will be very fun. And David, I'll allow you to go first. And give me one team in the East you're excited to watch this upcoming season.
Well, I will say, I mean, isn't the criteria supposed to be ambiguous?
Like, yes,
I mean,
I've
read the Zach Lowe column before. I mean, I think we all have at some point. If you're a basketball fan, there's a good chance you have. It's like, it's sometimes his rationale is like they've got cool uniforms, or they're trotting out a great new home court, you know, and things like that. So the criteria is pretty loose. But in my case, look, I'm going with the most obvious answer first. I am very curious to see what happens with the Brooklyn Nets this season. This is not a ranking necessarily. It's a very obvious choice. Like I said, the Nets likely to be pretty damn good. I think that's not quite a mystery there. I just want to see how this all ties together, because this grand experiment fell flat last season. I mean, again, through no fault of their own, but regarding injury, the whole James Harden fiasco, Kyrie, Kevin Durant, everybody missing a significant amount of time, bringing in Blake Griffin midway through the season, and on, there was just, and we never quite got our footing regarding what that team could potentially look like. So going into next season, knowing that they're making all these changes, they brought Griffin back, we expect their big three to be healthy. They just added LaMarcus Aldridge, who we can talk about as well. And so on and on and on. This is an interesting team that I think will be very, very dominant. And maybe that makes them too dominant. Maybe that doesn't necessarily make them fun to watch. But the rationale is you don't like watching super teams, or super teams are quote unquote bad for the league. That's not true. Super teams are great for the league. You love seeing a very hot, you know, stacked opponent obliterate other opponents. I think that's just something that's always been fun to watch, I think, just objectively. And that's where I'm kind of at with the Nets.
The Nets are one of my five teams as well. I'd be concerned if the Nets aren't one of your five teams, even if you don't like super teams, because Durant is incredible to watch. Kyrie is incredible to watch. James Harden's incredible to watch. And like you said, they just got Aldridge back and he's been cleared by doctors now. They still have Blake. Cam Thomas, this character they drafted at the end of the first round, looks like he could be extremely fun as a young guy scoring the ball off the bench. They brought in Patty Mills, another veteran presence who could be spark for them. If Joe Harris doesn't turn into a lemon in the playoffs, suddenly they have like one of the best shooters in the NBA flanking all these stars on the team. I mean, everything is exciting. They've got shooting, crazy ball handling. They can fly up and down the floor. Their stars are some of the most fun to watch in the league. Most people don't like watching Harden. I understand that, but Durant and Kyrie are, and their role players are all either big names or some exciting guy with some cool backstory behind them. So that they're like, everything about them is just going to be interesting this season to see how they do. And if they can be healthy, can they be dominant in the playoffs? Because the roster suggests they could be, even with just one of their big three. I mean, I guess Harden was playing, but he was a shell of himself. Even with just one of their big three healthy, they were a foot on the line away from knocking out the champions in the second round. I mean, I'm just so intrigued by what this team could be next year.
Yeah, no doubt. And I totally forgot they just added Paul Millsap as well.
Oh, so that's I like did too.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got Jahlil Okafor there in the trade with Detroit for DeAndre Jordan, now, you know, once and future Laker. It's incredible there. It's an interesting team. And I know a lot of people are criticizing the whole ring chasing mentality and things of that sort, but that's kind of just the way the league is stacked up nowadays. You have a good chance to play and compete for a title. I think if you're towards the tail end of your career, what else have you got to lose? They added James Johnson as well, former Heat player. So that's a really interesting team. I'm very curious to see how it plays out over the course of a full 82 game season with this team somewhat intact. We don't anticipate any kind of significant roster change. It should just be a fun, dominant team. The biggest question for them, I think, is a pretty obvious one, like you mentioned, their health. If they can stay healthy throughout the postseason, this should be a team with a pretty clear-cut path to the finals, at least in my opinion.
So I'm guessing the team I'm going to go to next is a team you also would have on your list of five, but I could be wrong. Guessing is not the name of this game. One of my five interesting teams this coming season, the Chicago Bulls. Do you have the Bulls as one of your five?
They are actually one of my five teams. I mean, just... a lot of offseason changes, you know, what will Billy Donovan do? Like I, you know, he's been in the league for so long. He's had up and down seasons. How can he get the most out of this new team? It feels like, you know, for a coach, it's almost always so important to have some kind of stability. You get your guys in there, you can work with that system. They understand it, et cetera. And then they kind of just implement it throughout the course of the season. And of course, talent and great players make that system much more palatable and much more powerful. But at the same time, like, you know, what is Donovan going to do to reach these new players? What's going to happen with a full season of Nikola Vucevic, who I am a big fan of, and on and on and on. There's just a lot of questions about that team. What is your rationale for having the Bulls on there? Because I feel like some people are kind of out on that team. I mean, there's a kind of like a morbid curiosity, kind of like the train wreck waiting to happen sort of mentality when it comes to those Bulls. But I'm on the other side of this. Where do you stand?
I'm closer to the morbid curiosity side, but I think they can be awesome and good. You know, their offense will be unbelievably electric next season. Like, they've got guys who basically everyone who's going to start for them can score from everywhere because Lonzo can shoot now. But they the guys they added, the stars they have, Vooch, LaVine, DeRozan, even Lonzo, they're all extremely talented, right? They got better. They also all have like glaring flaws, not just flawed players. Like, every player has some flaws. Like DeRozan cannot shoot at all, is not a good defender. Vucevic is very slow-footed. LaVine doesn't try on defense. Lonzo, you know, I guess his flaws are a little more or less pronounced, but, you know, his spacing isn't as good. He's more of a connector than like an elite setup guy kind of stuff. Like, they have some flaws on this team that if all of them pop up in a way that they don't gel perfectly, like, I could see this team not being that much better than last year. And that's kind of why I have this morbid curiosity about the Bulls. But that said, they added, you know, a 3-4-time All-NBA player in DeRozan. Vooch has an offseason to work with this team now. LaVine, I think, is in a contract year this year. So, you know, who knows how he will come out this year. Lonzo, obviously, in potentially a system with the best players he's played with his whole career to be that kind of setup guy. I also added Caruso, who can be that defender that they need in their second unit. Right. I'm just very interested to see how this team looks when they're actually playing games.
Who is the biggest X factor for you of this group? Because, I mean, I think we know already what LaVine and Vucevic are going to provide. Like, maybe their pairing doesn't necessarily work as well as we expect it to. But I think of the newcomers or anybody else on this roster, I mean, you can make a strong case for Patrick Williams because he is a second-year player. And with a lot of talent, you expect him to be able to make some kind of leap. Although I think a lot of people are hoping for a much more pronounced one. I'm not on that side just yet. But as far as the other players that brought in, who do you think is the biggest X factor?
I'd say Lonzo. I think, you know, if he can be a shooter, then they can allow him to be off ball more and still let LaVine and DeRozan and Vucevic do their thing and be the guys who the other team has to sweat about every single possession. And, you know, if he can be that guy, that's great. And if not, if he's shoehorned into, you know, having the ball a lot, that will kind of mitigate the impact you get from other guys who you signed to be big impact players. So that's a big one for me, especially because, like, how's he going to fit with Coby White? Two guys who just love to fly and pass and
right.
Do all this stuff, right? Their second unit could be a little sloppy if he isn't quite perfectly fitting within this Bulls system. And Patrick Williams is the second guy that, you know, there's a big onus on him. If he's their fifth starter, you know, he'll have to do a lot for them. He might have to defend the other team's best player very often, right? That's a very important role for a guy who's only 20 years old. So that's another one.
Yeah, I guess the right answer, however, was Stanley Johnson, who they agreed to sign. We should mention, however, that Johnson did sign a contract with the Chicago, or reportedly is close to signing with the Bulls. I'm not sure what they could potentially get out of the former Detroit Pistons lottery pick, but, you know, shout out to Stanley and hopefully another opportunity for him. I guess he was okay in some opportunities for Toronto over the last couple of seasons, but I'm just not sure how much more we can get out of him.
Patrick,
to tell our listeners about a product that we've been telling you about for the last few weeks. It's called Sweatblock. If you don't know about it by now, you're doing yourself a disservice. It's been around for a long time, about 10 years or so, and it's been proven to work. Doctor created, doctor recommended. If you are one of many people who happen to have a problem with profuse sweating, I know it can be somewhat embarrassing. A lot of people don't like admitting it or even talking about it. But if you want to do something about it, then Sweatblock is the product for you. I've got a friend of mine who is a teacher. He was going through this issue himself, and he would sometimes have to change shirts in the middle of the day. But ever since I told him about Sweatblock, he's been a different kind of person. He can go and focus on his classwork. He doesn't have to worry about whether or not he's being embarrassed or whether or not somebody is making fun of him behind his back or anything like that. Look, that's the reality in which we live in. And for him, that's no longer a problem. So now he's got Sweatblock. He feels much more confident. It's a different ballgame, and it can be for you as well. So if you go to sweatblock.com, you can get 20% off if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. You can also find a product at Amazon or at CVS. Or again, if you go to sweatblock.com, get 20% off if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Do you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. Really, you just don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house and a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes. Winner take all. You've got the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is draft fantasy sportsbook the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. And right now, you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon.
All right, David. Take me to your third interesting team you're going to watch in the Eastern Conference this coming season.
You know, we forgot to mention at the start when we were introducing the whole, you know, loosely based concept here that we will not be talking about our own respective teams,
correct,
teams that we cover. Yeah.
Correct.
You know, it would be easy to just say, oh, I am very curious to see what the Indiana Pacers or Miami Heat do over the course of the regular season. But we're not going there. That would be, again, too easy. So we're going with five other teams in the Eastern Conference. And my third team that I'm most interested in, the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh.
I think the other side of the Kyle Lowry equation, what happens to this team when a big chunk of their identity over the last few seasons has just been removed now? And what happens with this new iteration of this team? They've got Fred VanVleet there. He is probably the go-to player. What happens with a Goran Dragic fiasco? Does he get bought out? Is he part of that roster moving forward? There's a lot of questions. How do they incorporate Scottie Barnes? What happens with OG Anunoby? Does he take a leap finally? I mean, there's so much that could be said about this team. Look, a big thing that a lot of people don't really talk about outside of Toronto Raptors fans is the fact that they were so displaced for so much of the season, just hard to get any kind of stability. A big reason why they fell short last season. And of course they had injuries and everything else. So how do they bounce back now? Is this another year where this Raptors team just outsides its expectations? And I think they will be. I think a lot of people have kind of low expectations, sees them as an almost ran team. I think they're going to be potentially very, very good. And I'm curious to see how it all plays out.
You and I share that opinion that the Raptors could be surprisingly good. Okay. I did not expect to have that be a shared opinion. They're doing an interesting thing that very few teams get away with, but it is possible to do, is where they know a rebuild, maybe not a rebuild, but you know, a younger team is coming, but they're trying to compete in the interim before that happens, right? They still have some vets who are very talented, but those guys' deals are shorter or expiring in the case of someone. But there's a chance that you run out of team of Goran, VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, who was second team All-NBA 2 years ago, Gary Trent, and who did they sign at center? I mean, maybe they'll start Precious Achiuwa at center. I feel like they signed a center that I can't remember, but that could be like a really good team. And they're always good at getting development out of their roster. Right? OG could start as well. I can't believe I didn't even say his name. And Ken Birch, that's who I was thinking of. They got him last year. You know, he could be a good center for them. Scottie Barnes, right? Chris Boucher was good for them last year. They just have a lot of names that in the Raptors development system could turn into a useful and quality rotation player. So I have a feeling they could be a lot better than people are giving them credit for, especially when they're in their home country, they're in their hometown, they're able to play in Toronto. They're not dealing with the Tampa stuff. Like, the Pacers played the Raptors in their last game last year in Tampa, and it was the saddest thing I've ever seen. Like, they didn't want to play that game, right? Like, they just wanted it to be over. They're already eliminated from the playoffs. So I like you think they could be better than they're getting credit for next season. That said, I get why, you know, maybe they sell off Dragic. Maybe they sell off some other vets that they could tail off at the end of the season or change dramatically.
So are they on your list or not?
They were not on my list.
Okay. Interesting. But you bring up a really good point though. Like, that blend of like veteran presence and young player. But I kind of feel like the Raptors have for so long, they've kind of embraced that underdog mentality. And maybe because, again, they are this weird mix of characters, maybe they kind of use that to shape their identity to some degree. And I think it could really work out for them.
My third team, if you'll let me go now, is
absolutely
the Charlotte Hornets.
Uh-oh.
Are they on your list? Not on your list.
They are. No, they are. Oh. There's a little too much parity here. I think, look, I mean, Wes and I kind of, you know, after years of co-hosting pods together, we've shared a lot of opinions. Rarely do we, you know, go head to head like this, but you know, you and I are aligning pretty closely here. I'm curious who your fifth team is, the one that's different from your on your list. But yeah, Charlotte is absolutely on my team. Why are they on yours?
Well, one is LaMelo Ball every game is like not must-see TV, but pretty damn close for NBA.
He's not bad. He's interesting.
Yeah. He's super fun. Like, does stuff that very few guys can do at all. And he was 20 last year, right? So him getting better, him being able to read the game faster, see the floor better is dangerous for other teams, right? He will be a better player. He won Rookie of the Year and he missed a third of the season. He was still the rightful winner because he was that good. But also, look, Cody Zeller went to IU, so I'm obviously a big fan of him. Mason Plumlee is also from Indiana, so I'm a big fan of him. Mason Plumlee is better. They got better at center. Their worst position last year. They got Kai Jones and Bouknight, two draft picks that are interesting, fun, and could be good for them. Kelly Oubre plays a position that they needed guys last year. Without Hayward, you know, they were doing some weird stuff with the 3-4, trying to make Bridges move down, or excuse me, PJ Washington move down positions. They played a lot of the Martin brothers and the McDaniels. They couldn't get away with that. They have a serious wing now. I know Oubre really struggled for the Warriors, but on a team where he is asked to play, definitely just a play finisher role in Charlotte, maybe he can be a little better. So I think that they made some interesting upgrades at key positions. And I think that their young guys are all going to be playing a similar role in a way that they can get forward. And Gordon Hayward will be healthier next year. So there's a million reasons I think the Hornets will be both good and fun next year.
Yeah, I agree with almost all of those. Listen, I when I brought up the potential for this Hornets team and, you know, the Kelly Oubre signing, my co-host Wes, who covers the Warriors, was kind of out. He's not exactly a believer in what Oubre can bring to the table. I'm not sure how it's all going to work out. But again, that's what makes these teams interesting, is that they're adding.
He would know Oubre better than both of us. So I think we got to give him some benefit here.
Without a doubt. Yeah, he may not be. I mean, I don't even know if he's consistent enough to be the X factor. Like, he's too unreliable. I'm a believer in the possibility of him being better next year, because quite frankly, I don't think he could be much worse than what he was towards most of the season. But I think he's going to be able to provide something, whether it's just defense, whether or not he realizes now that this is his last best chance at proving that he can be a solid player. Like, he was expecting a bigger payday than he got, and now he has to take this kind of prove-it deal with the Hornets. I think it could pay out for him and for the Hornets, too. I mean, for them to just to be able to contend and be one of these 6, 7, 8 teams in the Eastern Conference playoff race, I think that would work out for them pretty well. I think they would view that as a pretty good season overall. So I am curious to see how it all shapes up. If Hayward is even a fraction of the player that he's been able to be, if he can be healthy for a prolonged period of time, I think it's a fun team. And I am a fan of Plumlee's as well. I think he was, you know, a lot of people made fun of the whole signing by the Detroit Pistons and getting all the centers and everything else, but he's a good player. I mean, he can stretch the floor. He can set good screens. He's a physical presence. He's a rebounder, et cetera. I mean, he's a good solid addition to this team. So I think they're going to be, at least 5 or 6 games more improved than they were last season.
All right, give me one more before we roll through another break so we can hopefully have some parity down the stretch here.
Well, I've got Charlotte on my team too, so that kind of taps me out a little bit. I've gone through 4 of my teams so far: Chicago, Charlotte, Toronto, and Brooklyn.
If you've gone through 4, then I should go, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, right, we both agree on Charlotte. So yeah,
let's hope your fifth team is not this team. Are you ready?
Yes, go for it.
The Boston Celtics.
Ah, I am glad you brought them up because I am a believer as well.
Are they your fifth team?
They are not. They are
all
not.
Right. There we go. Okay. So first of all, I think they got better, which, you know, is a key factor in me thinking they're going to be interesting next year. Dennis Schroeder in Kemba is an interesting swap at starting point guard, because Like if you polled 100 NBA fans or what employees or whatever, probably 85 would say Kemba's better. But last year he was not, right? He was hurt so much and he was not very good when he was actually playing in the playoffs. He was terrible. And there's a chance he's healthy next year and he's way better, right? He's been way better for a long time. But if he's not that healthy, he won't be better. And given what he gave the Celtics last year, Schroeder will probably be better than that. So I think they upgraded a point guard. I think Josh Richardson helps them get have an element on the wing they did not have last season with the second unit, right? He can handle the ball and create a little bit better than Smart. I think Wancho gives them a nice presence at the 3-4 they didn't have last season. And Horford gives them a presence at the 5 that they needed badly last season. And they retained a lot of their key guys. And Jason Tatum is basically a top 10 player who gets better every year. I think they're going to be better than people are giving them credit for. And I think they made a lot of very interesting moves that make me very intrigued by next year's Boston Celtics.
To me, this is kind of just like a good vibes team in some regards, because like the problem with the past few seasons is, you know, they added Hayward, the expectations went through the roof, but they kind of they lost their identity somewhere along the way. And this always feels like this should have been the team that they were before they added Hayward, when they were just exceeding expectations and nobody really believed in them. And they were just somehow finding ways to get better and better, go on these long, deep playoff runs. This kind of feels like a return to that form. I think they don't have a, I mean, they've got a clear superstar in Tatum and you know, somebody just below that in Jaylen Brown. But at the same time, I don't think anybody views the Celtics as a legitimate contender. And somehow I think with their coaching changes, with the addition of, you know, certain players, like you mentioned, I think this is a group that's going to find a way to gel together. And I am very, very curious. I'm glad you included them on your list because I am a believer in the Celtics. I had them actually as one of the teams that were going to, you know, excel beyond what the current over-under win stat was them for them. And I really like this team. I think they're going to be improved. I think they're going to have, you know, a renewed purpose. I think they kind of, you know, getting Kemba Walker out of there is kind of a addition by subtraction to some degree. Not that, you know, Walker was a bad player or a bad locker room presence or anything like that, but I don't think you can count on him as regularly. Now they've got a more balanced roster, in my opinion. So I really like this group, and I think they're a good team that's going to make some noise, even though a lot of people don't expect them to. But one thing you can always count on and expect is the solid customer service at rockauto.com. They're a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 2 decades. That's 20 years of service. You know that you can always rely on them. You can go to a traditional chain storefront, ask questions. Maybe the person behind the counter knows what you're talking about. It's this really uncomfortable exchange there. They can just order the parts that they have at their warehouse by their computer. But what's the point? You've got computers at home or in your pocket, which means you have access to rockauto.com. You can find everything you need with just a few easy clicks on their easy to navigate website. You get everything delivered directly and safely right to your door. You can save money too. The same low prices are for everybody, whether you're, you know, just a do-it-yourselfer or somebody who is a mechanic or somebody who wants to just get some auto parts. rockauto.com is the option for you. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, then go to the section that says how'd you hear about us and enter the phrase locked on so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com.
Rolling in to our final teams, I have a little hybrid answer here too as well, just in case we need to add more layers to this discussion. David, who is your fifth and final interesting team to watch in the Eastern Conference next season?
It was kind of a surprise team last year, maybe. I don't know. It depends on your personal perspective there. They went through some major downs, and then they wound up getting, you know, pretty high up into Eastern Conference standings and rankings and final playoff race. It was the Atlanta Hawks. I think a full season of Nate McMillan as coach, having some players understand their role a little bit more clearly, perhaps some health from a couple of players like Danilo Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic, DeAndre Hunter, et cetera. I think you get this group together and there's a lot of potential. I don't know exactly what to make of this group yet. I think they did somehow wind up exceeding even their talent level and expectations by going all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm kind of not able to really see them as a clear contender yet. I'm sure a lot of Hawks fans will be dismissive of that opinion, but I don't know, something about this group. I just don't see quite the leadership presence on this roster. As good a player as Trae Young is, as good a player as everybody else on this roster, they've got a lot of good players on this roster. I just don't know if they have that clear leading mentality there, that clear superstar that's going to guide them home and help take them to that next level. Having said that, they're a really good roster. I'm a believer in McMillan, as I'm sure you are as well. And I think they can be a really good team, a fun team to watch on a nightly basis. You know, they're going to be interesting from an offensive perspective. And now, of course, they'll continue to work on their defensive presence as well. But that just seems like a really good group. And seeing where they fall, whether or not it's closer to the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference or closer to the top two or three seeds, I think that's a realistic possibility. They could be anywhere on that Eastern Conference spectrum. So that's why I'm curious about them.
They are fascinating to me. They're not my fifth team. So good choice there, just for discussion purposes. So this is going to be way too far zoomed out, but just looking at the Hawks playoff rotation from last year, they didn't have DeAndre Hunter for a bunch of it because he was injured. So add him in. Now you have Dalon Wright to play backup point guard instead of Lou Williams, right? That's a small upgrade. You have Gorgui Dieng to play backup center instead of Okongwu. Well, he's hurt. Who knows what they'll do when they're both healthy, but while he's hurt, they have Gorgui Dieng. Those are all small upgrades from a team that made the conference finals, right? And like, I know that they're cap strapped and that's all you can do, but like making those upgrades is what you do in a position that the Hawks are in, or you just overachieve. They didn't swing too early to me for the star, like 1 year into a big overachieving. And that made their offseason very good to me. They just made these incremental upgrades at a lot of key positions. That's why I think they can be very good again. But that said, like you, I think they a little bit overachieved last year, right? If Ben Simmons doesn't become whatever that was in that series, you know, who knows if they can even beat the Sixers with an injured Joel Embiid and the first round, you know, they earned the five seed. They earned the right to play the Knicks, but you know, the ball bounces a different way a few times in the season. Suddenly they're six and Miami's five and they're playing the Bucks in the first round. Who knows how that goes, right? Like all that stuff is just so close on the margins, and they were very healthy last year until the playoffs, of course. So I'll be curious what they look like as well. And they made a lot of key upgrades that make me believe in them as still a top five team in the East. Especially having McMillan in his full offseason to implement stuff. I'll be curious how the Hawks survive the Nate McMillan fitness regime of training camp for the first time. But I'm looking forward to seeing how they look next year. But they're not that interesting to me because I feel like a lot of their minutes are still going to be pretty similar last year. That said, Trae Young is an absolute delight to watch. And I did consider them.
Absolutely. So who is your fifth team then?
Well, I wasn't allowed to pick the Heat because you cover the Heat. So the Heat were not my choice. They would have.
No, they could be. I mean, they could have been your choice, not my choice. That's why that's the rule I stipulated it to you. But you know what? We can always bend the rules. We could just avoid talking about them altogether. That's fine.
We will flex talking about the Heat till after we go through my actual fifth team. The Washington Wizards are my fifth team.
Good choice.
Yes. So what does a team look like? They still have Beal, right? The best scorer in the NBA maybe over the last two seasons. What does a team look like that trades Russell Westbrook for several positive contributor role players who fit very well with a team that they already had in place, right? I think that is a very interesting on-the-fly maneuver by the Wizards and Tommy Shepard, their GM. They basically, because they got a first from Russ that they ended up flipping to the Pacers, but whatever, they basically traded John Wall for all this crop in like a 200-day span. Like that is extremely impressive given how bad people view his contract. And KCP is a kind of role player they've never had on the wings in the last couple seasons around Beal. And Spencer Dinwiddie, obviously their big haul of the offseason, is an excellent point guard who can control the game when Beal doesn't have the ball. And they also got Montrezl Harrell, who's maybe their best center, probably their backup center, depending on how you feel about Daniel Gafford. They got some interesting young guys in the draft and Kispert, and they got Aaron Holiday from the Pacers in a trade. They also have Kuzma now. I don't know if we can call him young anymore, but another guy they can develop who can be a useful 3-4 for them. They kept a lot of important key guys. They're just a really deep team that has Bradley Beal. And usually the Bradley Beal teams have been either too shallow or has another guy that requires the ball a lot. They don't have that now. So I think we'll see a very refined Bradley Beal who could have the energy to play defense this year if he doesn't have to extend as much. Plus a bunch of solid players in a way that they haven't had since they were in the conference, almost in the conference finals in 2017. And even that team wasn't that deep. So I'm fascinated to see how Beal plus an actually good 10-man rotation looks in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think this is just a team that screams much more balanced than the roster the last couple of seasons. I think, you know, on the fringes, a lot of peripheral fans look at the subtraction of Russell Westbrook and go, oh, well, they lost a lot of talent. But Westbrook is just such a powerful presence for good and for bad equally, that he just changes the dynamic of every team. Without him on this roster, while it lacks some certain star power, there's just better overall fit with a lot of the roster additions. They just have, they have more good and useful players rather than maybe one player who can have a dominant, you know, Westbrook-like performance, although maybe that was something he was capable of earlier in his career, not necessarily as much now, even though I like his fit in Los Angeles. But still, as far as this roster is concerned, it's a great group. I'm curious to see what the new first-year head coach can do there. I think Wes Unseld, from everything we've heard, obviously a great reputation, a guy who can really connect with players. The fact that I think they're going to get a full buy-in from Bradley Beal, he's one of those players where, you know, maybe like Damian Lillard, a lot of people say, oh, you know, he doesn't want to get traded, and he's never said he actually wants to get traded. He's a firm, you know, he has a firm stance that he wants to be part of a Wizards rebuild and getting back to, you know, a place where they can reach the playoffs and be a legitimate contender, et cetera. I actually believe him. Maybe this season will break him, but I don't see any reason why. I think these players, if they all buy in, and maybe there's some big question marks about guys like KCP and you know, others, because they were competing for a title with the Lakers. They were playing with superstars and LeBron and Anthony Davis, and now do they fall in line as easily? I mean, the presence of a guy like LeBron really changes things. Is Beal that guy for this roster? Is he going to be able to get them to focus? Can a first-year coach get them to focus like that? I mean, there are questions. They are very interesting. I'd like the balance, but I could see things going just as badly for them as I can see them going well. I happen to be a little bit more optimistic, like as are you, but I am very curious to see this team, and I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
The last I mentioned the Heat, I just want you to divulge me for a moment. First of all, I don't know when Oladipo is officially coming back. The rosy stance, I think there was a doctor last year who said like maybe November. That said, as someone who covered Oladipo for a long time and knows how bad that knee could be, that seems extremely optimistic. That said, if Depot can come back and be a good defender again this season, I mean, what are the odds that he'd have the best defense in the league by like a mile this year?
Pretty good, right? I mean,
yeah,
I'd say it all work out. Look, Lowry, you know, a lot of people are kind of dismissive, even Heat fans, really dismissive of Lowry for whatever reason. Maybe they just didn't want to watch a lot of Raptors basketball for the last couple of seasons. But he, you know, I think there's this unfortunate understanding of what a quote unquote superstar level player is. And for a guy like Lowry, who, you know, doesn't put up gaudy numbers, he's not an otherworldly type scorer. He's not a Kevin Durant, et cetera. There's so many good things that he does on the floor. Some things that just were not available from any guard in this Miami Heat roster. As always, I am a big Goran Dragic fan, but he was very limited in what he could do. He wasn't always necessarily a great playmaker. He certainly wasn't a great defender, especially as he was bouncing back from injury. And while he was a potent scorer a couple seasons ago in the Orlando bubble, that wasn't the case anymore. And I just, now you get all of that with Kyle Lowry. Even though he's older, I'm still a believer that Heat training camp will be able to get the most out of him. It seems like a great fit. The fact that he's another strong personality with championship experience to get, you know, Jimmy Butler to focus, to have everybody, you know, on the same page as a roster, I'm very optimistic about their chances. I think they're going to be a lot of fun, you know, to watch as well. And I can't pick them because of this rule that I created for myself, but otherwise they would certainly be in my top five.
Yeah. They just have, to me, the way the roster that Pat Riley has built has such an interesting, like, they can very easily trade off players to be a very strong offensive five or defensive five at any time and not give up a ton, right? Like, the guys that are offensive are not that great at defense, and some of their defensive guys struggle a bit on offense. But the lineups they can put out and the trade-offs they can make are exactly what good teams can do, and I really like what they did this offseason. But we can't go into them too much because of our silly little rules. So I'm glad you didn't pick the Pacers because they did not do anything that would make them more interesting than last season. So not a ton we can talk about with them.
Well, I mean, give me your elevator pitch on why the Pacers could excel and you know, get past those limited expectations for him.
Give me a little Pacers colored glasses-y here for a second. So you got to stick with me. But this team, this Pacers team, as you know, from the playoff series from 2 years ago, their win percentage record from the 73 game season of 2019-20 with COVID hitting, they were a 50-win team. And they have basically the exact same rotation as that year, this year with the same team, right? So that roster is still here. That's what the rosy Pacers outlook is that they could be really good again. And Chris Duarte looked very exciting in summer league, and Torrey Craig gives them a defensive dimension they've been missing since Thad Young 3 years ago. So they have plugged some needed skills on their team. And Rick Carlisle is a fantastic coach that hopefully will wash away the sins of the Nate Bjorken era that was last season. That is the Pacers colored outlook way of looking at it. And they were horrible in the health department last year, but That said, a lot of teams are a lot better since they won 50 games back then. And it's just impossible to project what they're going to look like. We haven't seen Carlisle coach this specific team yet. They could be on the verge of breaking up the bigs. Who knows? And they don't. And for the purpose of this exercise, we're basically league pass ranking teams. They don't have that young guy who you have to tune in to watch. Right. So they would not have made my five interesting teams anyway.
Yeah, that seems pretty fair. I mean, there are questions about injuries. I mean, what is TJ Warren's status? Is he going to be 100% at the start of the season?
I don't know about the percentages, but I know he will be ready to go when the season starts.
Okay. Well, that certainly changes the dynamic a lot there. And another year of entertaining trade possibilities between your Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner, I'm sure, is something that you're looking forward to a great deal.
I literally cannot wait to talk about anything but that this coming season. It's going to be very exciting. He's David Rommel. You can find him on Twitter at DRommel13 or, of course, the Locked On Heat podcast, which is at Locked On Heat. I'm Tony East at TEastNBA on Twitter. The podcast is at Locked On Pacers. Go check those out for Heat and Pacers coverage. Tomorrow, of course, Locked On NBA Wednesdays, Jake Madison, John Corrales will be breaking down the league as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we, as a duo, will be back next Tuesday.